Lori Prox here with Dr. Todd of Valdez Medical Clinic and Providence Valdez Medical Center. And we have good news today. We're in the single digits for coronavirus as of Monday. And we found out last night the dashboard will be updated once a week here in Valdez on Mondays. The state has cut back to, I think, they're still at Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but they went from daily. So that's good news. But Kathy, I know you like to talk about peaks and valleys, and hopefully you're enjoying a lull. I hope that the medical community here is taking, I know there's other things to do when you get into that valley, but what does that mean? What is it looking like locally here for COVID? I know we're still above the national average. I think the public health nurse mentioned last night in the state of Alaska, but what does it look like here on the ground here in Valdez?
Well, definitely it looks better, the fewer cases that you have. What you have to remember is that things lag, so that if you get a new case, many of those new cases are just going to be home and be miserable. Some of those new cases are going to be home and not even miserable, but at home. But some of them, you know, 8-10 days later are going to be sick. So, you know, I had somebody in the hospital just this last week. Big Providence has said that they aren't really using crisis level of care. I think Alaska Native has said the same thing. Alaska Regional has said, we never did that. But the whole point of crisis level of care is if you get overwhelmed, you're saying, you know, it could happen any time, that we just don't have enough resources to go around. And I had to beg to get somebody sent to Anchorage for a different thing, not a COVID-related thing, the other day, because Providence was still too full. So Providence is often on the edge of being too full all summer. And with the cases that they have left over of COVID in their hospital, some of them not contagious anymore, but still sick enough to be in the hospital, it's still, you know, it makes it seem like summer conditions rather than winter conditions. We still have the FEMA nurses here, which is wonderful. We have FEMA testing people here. We're going to have to come up with those people otherwise when those folks leave, probably to go someplace else in the United States that's having its own surge right now. They keep talking about, you know, when the winter weather starts, that everybody's going to go inside and it's going to be worse in the lower 48. We kind of already did that. So yeah. Hopefully we'll be low for a while and FEMA will go someplace else where they're needed more. But that still leaves us with needing to find more nurses and their and other specialties, and they're hard to come by at the moment.
Well, and for people who were, you know, hiding under a rock, nurses were hard to come by before COVID.
Exactly. And then, you know, all the people who signed up to be the strike force for FEMA are not available to be traveling nurses for some other agency. So, you know, good for them for signing up, but it's hard to get traveling nurses. The hospital was trying very hard to do that before this last.
So the takeaway might be, if you're younger and you're looking at a profession, this was an immediate need, but this could last a while. And so nursing might be a great doctor. All of that might be anything in the medical field would probably be a guaranteed employment choice. Unless you're really, really awful.
X-ray techs. At one point, Alaska was looking for more than 50 people in X-ray positions, just in Alaska. You know, there are all kinds of things. It's not just doctors and nurses that work at hospitals. It's the people in the special kitchens that you have to have special certification. It's people in cleaning that have to know how to do hospital cleaning. It's a bunch of people.
And Kathy, how is the mental health of our medical community? Are we weathering this storm?
Am I crazy?
Are you crazy? Well, everyone's a little crazy right now. I think it's just the way it is. And I know that's a tough question to answer, but that's an important thing.
Well, I think the medical community in general throughout the country has expressed it as, you know, they're willing to give their all. But when you can't pour from an empty pitcher is what we get quoted at us all the time. And there's, you know, how many hours have you worked, which is maybe a little bit less of a problem now, not totally. But it's also again. Like, oh no, here comes another variant. Oh no, here comes another surge. And when it's, when things are, inevitable, you just buck up and do it. But when you have lots of people who, you know, are calling in saying, boy, you know, I want monoclonal antibodies, or I need to be in the hospital because I can't breathe, and they're all unvaccinated, you go, you know, when does your lack of planning become my emergency? And it's daunting. It's depressing when you see things that didn't have to happen happening.
And I know, and then there's the political side, and some might say, well, then, you know, how does that change the way you care for people? So, I mean, since you made that comment, I want to give you the opportunity, because I think it, at one point you had said you actually might end up doing more for someone who's unvaccinated because they might need more. Is that a correct statement?
Oh, that's absolutely a correct statement. Once the patient's in front of the healthcare personnel, you know, it doesn't matter whether they're vaccinated, unvaccinated, what their political leanings are, you know, race, creed, sex, whatever, you know, we'll just do what needs to be done. But you asked about mental health, and, you know, when that happens day after day after day, it does take it out of you a little bit more.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we were clear here on the air. So, and so let's go to Omicron variant. I know you said it'd take 2 weeks before we'd know a little bit more, but it doesn't seem to be, I mean, the things that I've read, it doesn't seem to be as, I don't think they really know how transmittable it is, the severity of that, but it doesn't seem to be throwing everyone into the hospital. Is that, I think that's all we know. It's about, the symptoms are not as...
We still don't know a lot. So, you know, a lot of the testing that they're doing on it has to be in the lab until it happens as a natural experiment in the world. But it seems to not be as affected by antibodies that are in people's blood. So the lab tests that you can do are that it has the potential to get around a previous infection or vaccination. South Africa is a country that was hoping to get to herd immunity because everybody in the country's had it. That's not a good way to get there. But they don't have a lot of vaccination. They have a lot of people that had it, and they're going, okay, we went through that. We've been through fire. And then here comes the next one, and their cases just went up like spectacularly. And so the fact that somebody had COVID, months ago or a year ago, just isn't protecting them the way that they were hoping for. We do have it in, I guess it's now a third of the states, so it's going to be here. But Delta is still the major variant in the United States, and so there aren't any places you can say, oh, in this community, look at what happened in terms of how sick people got, because they all have Omicron. That just hasn't happened yet any place except South Africa. And as you say, they're not a vaccinated country. They're a everybody's already had it country, unfortunately. Yeah, the one thing that I heard new, and I don't have this is still the maybe sort of category, is that there were more kids under the age of 2 being admitted with this variant of the virus. That's still a matter of, well, okay, there's more kids admitted. Is that because you don't have to keep them home because the hospitals aren't full of other people? Or is it because it's actually worse on little kids? Or is that because that's the only people who aren't vaccinated? You know, nobody knows why, but that's an observation so far. So that would be a worry.
And we should share,
those folks can't be vaccinated yet.
For people who didn't catch the city council meeting on Monday, the public health nurse did say that the Omicron variant has not been discovered here in Alaska. And that kind of begs the question from me. I was wondering, if someone does test for COVID here in Valdez, will you know which variant?
Well, we in Alaska are supposed to have a certain percentage of the tests that we do locally double swabbed, so that the state can have some of those, and then they can do the sequencing on that. It takes a while to do sequencing. It's very expensive. It's not something that you can just order. It's a research kind of tool. And so, yes, I'm sure that Alaska is testing just as much as every other state for the recent positives to see whether there's Omicron in there, so that we will start to get the information about Omicron versus Delta.
Oh, so is it a pretty equal percentage of tests from each state that goes? Ideally, I guess, but
I know that in recent memory, they have been specifically testing more people who are breakthrough cases, people who are vaccinated but get sick anyway. And so it's not surprising to me that the first statistics on this are from vaccinated people don't get very sick with Omicron. Oh, well, that means that Omicron only hits vaccinated people. No, it means that those are the people you tested because they kind of had a project going on that as the breakthrough cases. What's the deal on those? I'm sure that they're testing even more cases. It's easy for them to test the cases, the tests that are going to the state anyway. They already have it in their hot little hands. And so, you know, that yes, they'll test some cases from Valdez, but it'll probably, at first at least, be the ones that the PCR tests that we send to the state that take 2 or 3 or 4 days to come back. Those are probably going to be the ones that they do. So far, they haven't told us to.
And at this point, we're testing only people in Valdez that the medical community say, you know, hey, they need to be tested because they have symptoms or some such thing. So is our general testing, there's so many variables with this thing, but is our testing up? Are people testing less than they used to?
Well, we're getting over people having the grapevine say, hey, they don't have enough tests to go around. We're getting over that because we now do have enough tests to go around. So we definitely want to test people with any symptom, and we want to test people who are close contacts. And that is kind of in two groups of people. That is, say, person A tests positive, and person B is, you know, their spouse, for instance. So usually, what we would say is person B, at least unvaccinated, well, vaccinated or unvaccinated, should test again in 3 to 5 days, 4, 5 to 7 days, a little bit of variation there for the vaccination status. But they should test to see if they caught it from person A. But it could also be that person B was, you know, person A caught it from their mother-in-law that they had Thanksgiving dinner with. That's a little too long ago, but you know what I mean. They went over there and visited, and person B was with them. And so person B ought to test right now also, because they might be positive right at the moment. If they have any symptom, of course, but even if they could have an asymptomatic case, and we've got enough tests now to do that. And so we'd like to test people who think they've been exposed, either from a close contact or either right now, the person who just tested positive, or from the same person that infected the person who's testing positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think there's talk as well about having more at-home tests, the ability to not go in. And I wanted to ask, in the case when they're talking about that, are these the same PCR rapid tests that you can get on the end cap at the pharmacy, or are they looking at new, you know, has the reliability or the results of rapid tests, home testing, gotten better, or are we talking about the same test?
Yeah, well, there are a bunch more brands, and so there's trying to make a bunch more availability of antigen tests. You said PCR, and that's not right. PCR is the one that goes off to the state, takes fancy machinery, takes trained lab technicians. The hospitals can do that in Anchorage, for instance, but not here. So PCR is your most sensitive test. If you get a negative, you are the most sure that it's really negative with that kind of test, because it's very sensitive. All these tests are very specific. If you get a positive, it is a positive. That's pretty darn good. But the problem is how sensitive they are in terms of reliability of a test. So the sensitivity and specificity, and they're all very specific. If it's positive, it's positive. But if it's negative, PCR is the best. And then the Abbott ID Now that we do here is the next best. Those are called NAAT tests.
Oh, okay.
And then the antigen tests that you can buy in the store if you can get one, because everybody wants them, and so they go off the shelves pretty fast. Those are less reliable. A lot of the statistics that are given on those for how sensitive they are based on doing it twice, like 2 days in a row, because you're so likely to miss it. It's not how you're swabbing, because the swabbing is kind of all the same nowadays, but it's that the test might not pick it up. The PCR tests take whatever's in there and multiply it. Like they make extra copies, and then they make extra copies again, and then they make extra copies again. And so they can pick up one thing, could be multiplied enough times that you can finally see it, whereas the antigen tests are stuck with just what's there. And so you have a unless you have a bunch of viruses, you're not going to pick it up.
Okay, well, that's a good definition. And I think is when you hear the word rapid test, that would apply to what you're referring to as an antigen test at home, right? Is that?
Well, no, this rapid to me, and I think to most people, just means the one that you don't have to send to the state and spend 4 hours on the machine. You know, first it has to get to Fairbanks, and then it has to spend 4 hours on the machine with very highly trained people. So it just takes a while to do them. So the PCR tests are not rapid. They take days to come back. The one you did in the airport, not quite the same logistics, but it also took, you know, a day and a half, two to come back, because they just have to run it on a fancy, complicated machine with highly trained people. The tests that we do here in town at both the doctor's clinics and at the school, those are in between tests, but they're rapid because you can get the results back in 15, 20 minutes. These antigen tests, I think we should just call them antigen tests. They just aren't multiplied, so they're not as sensitive. But if you do two in a row, it's something like 87% as sensitive as a PCR test.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
It's nice if you could do it at home before you go to work or whatever. And I think the talk is that nationally they're trying to get the price of them down, make it so that your insurance company has to reimburse you for it, like they would some
yeah,
medicine
keep
that
a
didn't
receipt
have a copay,
or something.
Have them available to people who don't have insurance through some other mechanism, so that people could have them at home. I will say that those are the tests that are being used in the test to stay program at the school, because each test on a machine takes 15, 20 minutes, whereas these take 15 or 20 minutes, but they're like a home pregnancy test. You can just, you know, do them and then let them sit. And so you could have 15 of them all lined up sitting and taking their 15 minutes all at the same time. So that's something you can do, a whole class where one kid tested positive last week or this week, and you can test the other kids at day 3 and day 5 and do them all at once instead of, you know, going overnight to try to even do one class worth.
Well, and for an opportunity or for folks to take care of themselves or to do a little bit of work. If for folks who you really take a dropper and you put 6 drops into a card and you do the nasal swab and put it in there, it takes about 2 minutes, but you know, I went to go see my mother. So I didn't have any symptoms, but for that kind of thing, if people want to try that once and then, you know, like maybe, you know, now I know I maybe should have done it twice, and then you'd be a little bit more reassured. So that's something people can do out there if they're either just curious or want to try to manage.
Yeah, if you're going to go on Christmas vacation to go visit your grandmother, even if she's been vaccinated, it's a little nerve-wracking to have gone through an airport and then go to somebody who's vulnerable. And I think that they are definitely a worthwhile sort of thing. You just have to remember that they're not foolproof. Nothing's foolproof, but they are less foolproof than the other ones. For instance, we had one visiting doctor here, one of the residents, who had one of those tests that she brought with her, and she had a little runny nose, and so before she came to work, she tested herself. It came out negative, but 2 days later, she felt a little sicker, and she did the Abbott test, and it came out positive, and sure enough, she's off work for the next 10 days. She never had a very bad case. The worse your case, the more likely it is to pick it up. So the more symptoms you have, the more viruses that are swimming around in there, and the more likely it is to work. It's really important to do the testing now because there are other things going around at the moment that don't seem to have names, but, you know, I've had people test, and everybody in their family got the same thing, and we tested them all, and they are all negative for COVID on every kind of test, but it looks just like COVID. But you can't count on that, you know, so people are saying, oh, I've just got the Valdez crud that's going around. Usually that would be an okay thing to do, but it's not an okay thing to do when COVID is one of the possibilities, because maybe you're having a mild case, but the person that you breathe it on is not going to have a mild case.
All right. And still the idea of getting tested so that you can kind of take yourself out of the population is...
Yeah, and you should take yourself out of the population. You know, we get away with all kinds of things in a normal year of saying, well, you know, yeah, I've got a cold and I've got, oh, I only have a little bit of a fever and I'll wash my hands a lot after I blow my nose. And, you know, I go to work anyway. But we probably shouldn't do that. And right now we really shouldn't do that with or without antigen tests, but it could be that you get your two antigen tests or you get your ID now and you really feel fine except for a very slight lingering cough, and you should be able to go back to work. But you have to test for the COVID by any of those means. If you want to be the most accurate, you've got to test early on in the illness, not wait till it's a week later and say, well, I think I just had the crud. Now can I have a COVID test? Well, you can, but it's not going to be as sensitive because the number of viruses you're spewing out is less than, but it's still there. So, you know, if you want to know whether you've got COVID or not COVID, you should do it at the first symptom, not at the end.
And the public health nurse did mention that knowing at the onset of symptoms was important in the event that you might need some of the new drugs that you guys have or the new things
monoclonal
that you can.
Antibodies?
Yeah, the monoclonal antibodies that you can do for people. So
absolutely.
Maybe you could expand on
absolutely.
That and how that
we've
works.
We've had medicines for flu for a while that are the same thing, that if you catch it at the beginning, those medicines work. The monoclonal antibodies for COVID and something like Tamiflu for flu, those only work when the body is having the virus spread all through the body, and you can get it to quit doing that with this kind of medicines. And so you want to do that as soon as you can if you are at high risk. So they say that that's available within the first 10 days, but really, if you can get it at the beginning, it's the best. So if you find out you have COVID and you have diabetes or obesity or heart disease or lung disease or, you know, there's a whole long list of things that put you at a high risk, or if you're over 65, for instance, you can get monoclonal antibodies, whereas if you wait until you're desperate at day eight, it's kind of too late to do that, and we'll have to go on to the next set of things, including oxygen and remdesivir and that you have to get for 5 days IV and that sort of thing. So you don't want to wait till you're super sick to find out that you have COVID.
All right. I can't think of any more. I know that we talked a little bit about the test to stay program in the Valdez schools, but it seems like the numbers are a little lower, but is our system, you know, after having a few cases, following making the decision to do the test to stay, is that working as planned? Is that,
Well, it seems like so far so good. The number of cases in the school was going down anyway. The number of cases in town was going down anyway. So they haven't gotten to try it out as many times as they would have a month earlier. Thank goodness. but there has been one case where a kid in the elementary school tested positive. His class would have had to go home except for because none of the kids were fully vaccinated at that point. His class would have had to go home and quarantine, but the kids who opted into the test to stay program didn't quarantine. They stayed in school and they got swabbed. And there was one positive out of that, and they pulled them out of school onto isolation right away. So, you know, one kid either got it from someplace else or caught it from the kid in his class, and nobody else did. So to me, that's a win that it didn't go from first kid to second kid to kids 3, 4, 5, and then to kids you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It didn't become a big outbreak. It just was one kid caught it, and he went, even though that kid was in school for a little while, they were tested soon enough that they didn't give it to anybody else. So it worked.
Well, very good. Well, that's a good place to end. Good on a positive, a positive note, I suppose, right?
Right.
All right. Well, we'll check back again with you next week, and maybe
I'll
we'll
look forward to it.
More about
hopefully
Omicron or something. Yeah. That hopefully we're still in the single digits.